Ever wonder why the price of, say, a new phone starts super high and then drops later? Or, you know, why some sales feel like an amazing deal?
Yeah, there's market swings.
We're going to try and unpack that today.
Exactly. We're doing a deep dive into the real engines behind all this. Demand and supply.
The fundamentals.
Pretty much, yeah. Think of them as the basic code for understanding, well, how our economy actually ticks.
And we've been looking through some really good material explaining these concepts. The idea here isn't just, like, definitions.
No, definitely not.
We want to pull out the key insights so you can really grasp what makes the market move without needing, you know, a PhD in economics.
Right. Our mission basically is to give you a solid handle on what demand and supply are, what influences them, and crucially, the difference between a price change causing a little shuffle on the curve versus other things causing the whole curve to move.
That last bit sounds important.
It really is.
Okay, let's start with demand then. We all demand things, right? I demand a decent coffee first thing.
Huh, well, yes. But economically speaking, just wanting something isn't quite enough. The material talks about effective demand.
Ah, right. Effective demand. So what's the key difference there? It's not just wishful thinking.
Exactly. It's not just wanting. Effective demand means you actually have the money, the ability, and the willingness to buy it at a certain price.
Okay.
The source had that great example.
The luxury car one.
Mm-mm.
Where loads of people might want a fancy sports car. That's just the idea of demand, maybe. Notional demand.
Yeah, that's the term they use, notional demand.
But the number of people who can actually, you know, walk in and sign the check,
yeah,
that's the effective demand. That's what car companies actually care about.
Precisely. That's the demand that shapes the market. Now think bigger than just one person. You might want, say, a specific type of tea. That's your individual demand.
Okay.
But if we look at everyone who wants that tea across the whole market at different prices, that's market demand.
So market demand is just adding up what everyone wants at each price point.
Basically, yeah. It's the sum total. Gives you the bigger picture.
Right. And the material mentioned demand curves usually slope downwards. Why is that?
That's the law of demand. It's a general principle.
Okay.
As the price goes up, people usually buy less. And if the price drops, they tend to buy more. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Pretty intuitive. If something gets too pricey, you cut back or find an alternative.
Exactly.
But hold on. Price isn't the only thing affecting demand, is it? The source talked about other factors.
Huh.
Determinants of demand. Things that shift the whole curve.
Spot on. These are the non-price factors. Huge influencers. Let's start with income.
Okay, income. How does that work?
Well, it depends on the type of good.
Ah, the normal versus inferior goods thing.
Yes. So for normal goods, maybe like nice steak or organic vegetables. If your income goes up, you probably buy more. Demand increases.
Right. Makes sense. You treat yourself a bit more.
But then you have inferior goods. What might be an example there?
Maybe like instant noodles. Or perhaps long-distance bus travel versus flying. If you earn more, you might buy less of the cheaper option.
Perfect examples. Your demand for the inferior good actually goes down as your income rises. Okay, what about tastes and preferences? That seems huge.
Oh, totally. Think fashion, tech gadgets. What's hot today is forgotten tomorrow. Advertising plays a massive role here too, right? Shaping what we want.
Absolutely. Constantly changing. Then there's the price of related goods. This brings in substitutes and complements.
Okay, substitutes, like tea and coffee. If coffee prices soar, people might buy more tea instead.
Exactly. Demand for the substitute tea goes up and complements.
Things used together, like printers and ink cartridges. If printers get really cheap, maybe more people buy them.
And then the demand for the ink cartridges goes up too, even if their price hasn't changed?
Right, because you need one to use the other. Okay, right. What else? Future price expectations.
Yeah, what happens if you think the price of something is about to shoot up next week?
I'd probably buy it now. Stock up before it gets expensive.
Right, so expecting a higher price later can boost demand now.
Interesting. And the last one was seasonal factors, wasn't it?
Yep, pretty straightforward. Things like, you know, demand for ice cream in summer or heaters in winter.
Got it. Okay, that covers the demand side. Let's flip to supply. Is it a similar setup?
Very similar framework, yes. You have individual supply, what one company is willing to sell.
And market supply is just adding up all the individual companies.
Exactly. Summing up what all producers will offer at each price. And supply curves also have a typical direction.
But they slope upwards, usually. That's the law of supply.
Correct. Generally, the higher the price, the more producers want to supply because, well, it's more profitable, lower price, less incentive, so they supply less.
Okay, more money, more making. Makes sense. So what are the non-price factors that shift the supply curve, the determinants of supply?
Big one is the cost of production. Think wages, raw materials, energy. If those costs go up,
it gets more expensive to make stuff, so they probably make less. Supply decreases.
Precisely. The supply curve shifts left. Higher costs squeeze profits.
Okay. What else?
Technology. This is usually a positive one for supply.
How so?
Well, better technology often means more efficient production. You can make more with the same resources or the same amount cheaper.
Ah, like automation or better processes. So tech improvements generally increase supply, shift the curve right.
Typically, yes. Then there's government influence, taxes and subsidies.
Right. Taxes, like VAT mentioned in the source, add to costs, so they'd probably reduce supply.
Generally, yes. Shift supply left. Subsidies do the opposite. They're like a helping hand from the government.
So they lower costs and encourage more supply. Shift it right.
Exactly. I think of subsidies for renewable energy production, for example.
Okay. What about things like the weather?
Huge for agriculture, obviously.
Yeah.
A drought or floods can just wipe out supply for certain crops.
Yeah, you see that with food prices sometimes.
Definitely. Another factor is the price of other goods the producer could make.
How does that work?
Well, imagine a farmer growing wheat. If the price they could get for growing corn suddenly becomes much higher,
they might switch from wheat to corn, reducing the supply of wheat.
Exactly. They'll shift resources to whatever is most profitable. And just like demand, future price expectations matter for suppliers, too.
So if they think prices will jump next month, they might hold back stock now.
Precisely. They might store some inventory to sell later at the higher price, which reduces the current supply available on the market.
Okay, that's a lot of factors for both sides. Now, let's really nail down this distinction you mentioned earlier. The shift of a curve versus a movement along it. That seems critical.
It absolutely is. Probably the most common point of confusion when you first learn this stuff.
So a movement along the curve, that's just about the price.
Only the price. The price of that specific good changing. If the price of apples goes down, people buy more apples. That's a movement along the existing demand curve for apples. Nothing else fundamental has changed about their desire for apples at other prices.
Okay, just sliding along the line we already have.
Exactly. Same for supply. If the price of copper goes up, mining companies might supply more copper.
Hmm.
Again, a movement along their existing supply curve.
Got it. So then a shift is when the whole line moves.
The entire curve moves, yeah, left or right. And that happens because one of those non-price determinants we just discussed has changed.
Like the electric vehicle subsidy example from the source.
Perfect example. The subsidy doesn't initially change the sticker price, maybe, but it makes EVs more affordable overall for buyers.
So more people want them at every possible price level.
Right. The fundamental willingness and ability to buy has increased across the board. That shifts the whole demand curve to the right, an increase in demand.
And a left shift would be a decrease.
Yep. A left shift in demand means less quantity demanded at every price. A left shift in supply means less quantity supplied at every price. Think of physically picking up the line on the graph and moving it.
Okay, I think that distinction is clearer now. Movement, only price.
Yeah.
Shift, everything else.
That's the core concept. Nailing that helps you understand how markets react to, well, pretty much anything. News events, policy changes, new trends.
So fundamentally, it's this push and pull, this interaction between demand and supply that sets the prices we actually pay and how much stuff gets bought and sold.
That's the heart of it. Understanding these curves, what they represent, and crucially, what makes them shift or causes movement along them, gives you a really powerful lens to view the economy.
Yeah, I can see that. It helps make sense of things.
You can start to analyze why prices change or predict how a certain event might impact a market you're interested in.
Okay, this has been super helpful. Let's recap quickly. We talked about effective demand needing the cash, not just the wish.
Right. Individual versus market demand and supply one person versus everyone.
Then all those non-price factors, income, tastes, related goods, expectations, seasons for demand.
And costs, tech, taxes, weather, other prices, expectations for supply.
And crucially, that difference between a movement along the curve,
yeah,
triggered only by the goods' own price change.
Versus a shift of the entire curve caused by any of those other non-price factors.
Phew. Okay. I think we've got a solid foundation now.
Absolutely. These are the building blocks.
So here's something for you, the listener, to chew on. Think about a product you use almost every day. What non-price factor, maybe technology or changing tastes or even government rules, could really shake up its demand or supply in the future.
And following on from that, how might that shift affect the price you pay or even whether you can easily find it?
Great questions. It's a really useful way to start applying these ideas.
Definitely. And look, understanding demand and supply, it's really just the first step into the fascinating world of economics, but it's a crucial one. You've got a key piece of the puzzle now.